Father, we thank you that you're our Father. And Father, we thank you that we're your children. Father, thank you that you're loving us right now. Father, thank you for your presence with us. And Father, we just give today to you and ask you to pour your love again into our hearts. Father, that we would just experience you loving us today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's really good to be here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you just think Sue's done a brilliant job organising it? Yeah. And Dave and Dinah.
Dina.
Oh dear, I'm going to get into trouble. This thing will work in a minute.
If anyone gets cold, I turned the heaters off earlier, but if you're cold, go and turn the heater back on.
Well, how many of you have done an A or a B school before? Good, most, a lot of people. How many people haven't got a clue what we're talking about when we say A school or B school? Good. Well, I work with an organisation called Father Heart Ministries, which was started by James and Denise Jordan, who live in New Zealand. And over the last 10 years, I guess it is, they've been running, and a number of us have been running, what are really creatively called A schools and B schools. Now, you have to understand something of the New Zealand psyche. You know, they have a beautiful country in New Zealand. It's absolutely superb countryside, just mountains and lakes and so on. But as you drive along the road, they have bridges called number one bridge and number two bridge and so on. So when James and Denise started these schools, they started calling them A schools because it was the first one. And the second one is the B school. We don't have a C school. C school is actually living life. And we now, the A school is basically a week where you can, where we just take a week together to really explain and teach and minister the Father's love so people can receive it for themselves and begin to live in it. And the B school is, why isn't this thing working? The B school is, really learning to grow as sons, learning to live as sons and daughters, and to walk as Jesus walked. So we have a number of A schools all over the world. Brilliant. And I'll be telling you a little bit later about where you can get information on those. But we run, last year I think we ran over 40 A schools all around the world.
Hooray.
And this year there is going to be an A school in the UK. Yay. There's actually going to be two A schools in the UK. There's going to be one in Scotland in June. And, sorry, did someone...
Auckland,
okay. There's going to be one in Scotland in June, which will be led by John MacDonald, who some of you met last week. And then there is going to be one in the half-term week in October. Venue yet to be announced, but I'm working on it. I'll be leading that, and I'm working on getting a very, very special international speaker to join me. And I can't say any more because he hasn't said yes at the moment. But it is someone a lot of you will know from Wednesday nights. Ah. But until he actually says yes, I can't say that Barry Adams is going to be with me. But I'm working on it. I'm trusting and praying. And I'm also trusting and praying that we have a venue to do that in. But I've got a couple of ideas at the moment. But there'll be more information coming out about that in due course. So that's an A school is just a week where we just experience the love of the Father. And it changes people's lives, doesn't it, Sue? If you want to see a walking demonstration of a changed life, you just have to look at Sue. Because I'm told, I didn't know her before, but I'm told she is...
You wouldn't have wanted to know me before.
I'm told she's very different. And so there we go. But one of the things I'm really just sort of, I guess, journeying through in my own life at the moment is, what does it look like to walk as Jesus walked? In 1 John, John writes that if we live in him, if we live in love, we will walk as Jesus walked. And I've just really been asking myself the question, what does that look like? You know, what does that look like when we begin to walk as sons and daughters in the expression of the Father's love that Jesus did? And I kind of think it looks a little bit different to what we think it looks like. You know, when we experience the love of the Father, it changes everything. You know, when we begin to live in his love, it just wrecks our lives. And it changes, you know, it changed how I think about everything. You know, I do everything differently. You know, my whole theology has gone out of the window and been replaced with something that's a bit more biblical. You know, I'm actually reading this book. Was that a shock to some people? I'm actually reading this book, and I'm actually reading the words on the page. And they say a different thing to what I thought for a very long time, they said. And when we understand that God is our Father and we're living in the centre of his love and affection, and he wants us to live like his son Jesus, that we are being transformed into his likeness, you know, what does that look like? And book number 2, which is hopefully coming out in the summer, is going to be called Planted in Love. And it's hopefully going to be an expression of what it looks like to live our lives as sons and daughters. Because it's all very well. One of the things we find in Father Heart Ministries is people come to us and say, I've done an A school, I've done a B school. You know, now what do I do? You know, do I have to keep doing A schools every year? And the answer is no. Well, you can do if you want to. But you're going to hear the same stuff as you heard last time. And I'm kind of saying to people, go and live it. Go and live as a son. Go and live as a daughter in whatever area or sphere of influence God has placed you. Go and be a son or daughter there. And for some people, that will be in the church. For some people, that will be in the community. For some people, that will be in the school where they teach or where they help out. For some people, it will be in their office. You know, for some people, it will just be walking around Sainsbury's on a Saturday morning, smiling at people. And you don't even have to say anything, but if you just smile at people, they kind of look, wow. Because when we smile, we can just impart love through our eyes and through our face. And I remember once I walked down the high street in our town where I work, and there was just an older couple walking towards me, and I just said hello and smiled at them and carried on walking. And after about 10 metres or so, I just felt I should stop and turn round. And they were just standing there, rooted to the pavement, looking at me like this. And I kind of thought, all I did was say hello and smile. But I believe as we do that, and if we're living in love, it can't help but overflow. Yeah. And that's what it's like when we live as sons and daughters. And one of the things I'm just beginning to see, and I just want to open it up a little bit this morning, is that as sons and daughters, we've been given authority. See, authority is a dirty word in the church. Authority gives us a bad view. You know, we've got to be under authority. I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about the authority that God gives to his sons and daughters. You know, Jesus had authority. And we too, if we're like Jesus, we have authority. And I just want to open that up a little bit and maybe just call us up a little bit higher and say, this is what it looks like a little bit to walk as Jesus walked. This is what it looks like to live as Jesus lived. All of us know the story in Luke chapter 15 of the two sons. Now, I don't know if any of you have heard of a new translation of the Bible called the Passion Translation. It's really good. But the heading for Luke chapter 15 is the loving father. And I just think, yes, you know, he's got it. He's the guy who's translating this and creating, he's doing it book by book, but he's really trying to capture something of the passion of God's heart. And he calls this story in Luke 15 the story of the loving father. And we know the story, don't we? And we're not going to go into it in detail, but when the son comes back home, he's given a ring. The father puts a ring on his finger. And that ring signifies authority. That ring means that he can go into the marketplace and he can do business on the father's behalf. Now, hang on a second. This guy's just come back from the pig pen. He's just spent all his inheritance on reckless living. He's walked down the road, he's hot and smelly and dirty, and he's coming back as a servant. You know, isn't he? That's what he says. He says, my father's servants are treated better than the slaves looking after the pigs. He says, maybe if I go back home, maybe my dad will take me back as a servant. That's all he hopes for. But the father sees him coming from a long distance and he runs towards him. He throws his arms around him. He embraces him. He puts the best robe on him. Whose robe was that? It was his own robe. He puts a ring on his finger. He puts sandals on his feet. He doesn't even wait to listen to his son's pre-prepared speech. He just says, son, you're back. And he puts the ring on his finger. And the very next day, even that afternoon, that son can go to the marketplace and he can act on his father's behalf. He can act. People have to listen to him as if it was the father himself doing the transaction. And that's this son who's just come back from the pig pen. That's this son. You know, if it was my son, I would have sat him down and we would have had a good talk about it. We would have tried to work it all out and we would have had a long program of rehabilitation. See, I've got another talk I do, which is called The Father Who Does It All Wrong. See, because God does everything all wrong, doesn't he? You know, you shouldn't get a dirty pig smelling son back and say, it's okay, son, just carry on, here's the ring. But that's what our father does. You know, we have all these other ways of doing things which may or may not work, but you know, our father says, you are my son. You may have gone for a walk, you may have ended up in a pig pen, you may have spent your inheritance, but you are my son, and here's the ring to prove it. And the very next day, that boy has all of the authority of the father. And he gets back everything he'd walked away from. And that, just as it's true in that story, it's true for us. That when we walk away and do our own thing, when we come back, the father says, you're my son. You're my daughter. And he gives us back everything that we've walked away from. And he reinstates us into the family, not as a servant, but as his son or daughter. And, you know, when Jesus lived on the earth, when people had to take notice of him as if it was God the Father himself, because he had that authority that he could just go into a room and he could turn water into wine, or he could go out on the lake and walk on the water, or he could raise the dead. or he could challenge the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. He just had that authority that the Father had given him. And I believe that as we learn to live as sons and daughters, the Father wants to give us authority.
Yeah.
That we can act on his behalf. I just think that's so exciting. Because what does that look like? You know, what does that look like when we have the authority of God the Father inside of us? What does that look like when you go to the supermarket? What does that look like when you go to your workplace? What does that look like in our communities? I think it looks kind of quite exciting. And it's what I want to see more of. There was another guy in the Bible who was given a ring. And that was Joseph in the Old Testament. There he was in prison. And one day Pharaoh has a dream of the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean cows. And Pharaoh doesn't know what this dream means. And suddenly one of his servants remembers there's a guy in prison who can interpret dreams. And so Joseph is brought out and he interprets the dream. And Pharaoh says, "That's good. I like that. Here's my ring. You are now the prime minister of Egypt." So when Joseph said anything, when Joseph made a decision, when Joseph made a law, it was exactly the same as if Pharaoh had made it. See, he had all of the authority of Pharaoh. And he could act as if he was Pharaoh himself. And we'll come back to that story a little bit later on. One of the things we really have to understand as we talk about this authority is it's authority that is given to us. It's not something we take for ourselves. It's something the Father gives to us. You know, he wants us to act on his behalf. So he gives us the ability and the anointing and the authority to do that. It's not something we grasp for. It's not something we grab hold of and take for ourselves. And you know, many of us will remember the passage in Philippians where Paul writes this of Jesus. He says, "Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. See, and Paul is writing to us and he's encouraging us to have the same heart, the same attitude as Jesus. If we're going to be like Jesus, then, you know, we need to look at what he was like. What was his attitude? What was his heart like? And Paul writes here that although Jesus was God, he took the place of a servant. He became like us. He didn't grasp hold of anything for himself. He didn't say, "I'm the Son of God," you know, and blast in and grab it. He just came in with a gentle and humble spirit. And Paul is writing here, he said, have the same attitude, have the same heart. Don't look to your own interests. Don't look to push yourself forward. Don't look to make yourself look good. But look for the interests of one another. Look for the good of other people. Be a blessing to other people.
Now you can wrap it.
Wow, that's good. Good rhythm there. He's saying, you know, don't grasp hold of something for yourself, but look to be a blessing to other people. Look to build other people up. Look to encourage one another. That's the authority that the Father wants us to move in. is that we look for the good and for the blessing of other people. That we don't try and make a name for ourselves and push ourselves up. Because whenever we push ourselves up, we push other people down. And Father wants us to raise other people up and to see them blessed and to see good happening to them. And that's why this authority is given to us. It's not something we grasp hold of. It's something that we receive as a gift. I've got an office where I do my work. And I've got a number of staff who work for me. And I trust them. I give them a group of clients. And I say, this is your group of clients. You look after them. You know, this is how I want you to do it. This is what I want you to do. But you look after them. You take the phone calls. You take the emails. You deal with all the correspondence. You do have the meetings. You look after them. Now, why do I do that? All of them have got a certificate hanging on their wall that says they're a chartered accountant. They spend 4 years training. And they've got a certificate on the wall that says they're qualified. They've got the knowledge. They've got the ability. But that's not why I give them a group of clients. I give them a group of clients because I trust them. Because I know their heart is to please me and the other bosses in the business. I know the way they will do things will be the way that I would be happy with. And so I can trust them because I have a relationship with them. I've got a guy working for me in the office who's got his certificate on the wall. He's incredibly intelligent. He's incredibly talented when it comes to sorting out complex tax problems. He's got far more knowledge than I've got in that area. But I wouldn't let him loose with my clients. He can do the background work and give me the results and I'll interpret it. But he hasn't got the way of relating to people that I want him to have. And that's, you know, he's got the ability, he's got the qualifications, he's actually got the experience, but I can't give him that authority to act with my clients because I don't have the relationship with him. I don't have the ability to trust his heart like I do my other staff. And Father's not looking for people who've got all the knowledge and all the certificates on the wall. He's looking for people he can trust. He's looking for people whose hearts he can trust. He's looking for people who are like Jesus, who have the heart of a son or a daughter. And then Father will entrust us. He will entrust those people with his authority to be him on this earth. Paul writes here in Philippians, have the same heart as Jesus. Be like him. Looking for the good and the benefit of other people. See, I've got 4 children. And I can entrust them with things to do. Because I know them. And I know their hearts. And, you know, I can release stuff to them and say, here, have this to do. If they make a mistake, it doesn't matter. Making a mistake does not disqualify us. So often we think that making a mistake disqualifies us, or we are disqualified by other people when we make a mistake. But making a mistake does not disqualify us. It's just an opportunity for us to learn something new. It's an opportunity for the Father to do what he did to the young son in Luke 15 and throw his arms around him and say, welcome home. See, God is the God of the second chance. God is the, you know, it's not one shot and you're out.
Hooray!
Thank goodness. You know, it's if we mess up, he's always ready and willing, which is the amazing thing, to put his ring of authority back on our finger and say, son, hey, you made a mistake, but you're still my son. You made a mistake, but you're still my daughter. And he reinstates us and gives us back everything that we walk away from. See, a father can trust his children and give, you know, an inheritance to them. But with slaves, a master doesn't have the same trust of them. They just have to do what they're told. They have to be there at a certain time. They have to do the job. If it's the middle of the night, they have to get out of bed and do it. Because they are there to follow orders and to obey. But sons and daughters have the father's heart. And therefore can be entrusted with so much more. And our father wants to trust us with his kingdom. A friend of mine, he always describes the kingdom of heaven like this. He describes it as a bar of soap. And it's like you just feel you've got hold of it and ba-ding! It's slipped out of your hands. And you're left thinking, ow! And then you scrabble around the bottom of the bath again and you find this thing and you're just trying to get a handle on it and then ding, it's gone again. And I think, yeah, that's true. When we're not sons and daughters. See, I believe that God wants to give his kingdom to his sons and daughters. A king doesn't give his kingdom to his servants. He gives it to his sons and daughters. And I think while we live as slaves and orphans, it feels like a bit like the bar of soap. But when we begin to live as sons and daughters, we can grasp hold of what our Father's kingdom is all about. How many of you watched the Olympics opening ceremony a couple of years ago? Wasn't that? I thought that was just so wonderful. You know, the Queen jumping out. Well, we all know she didn't. But, you know, the Queen. Well, someone dressed up as the Queen jumping out of the helicopter. And James Bond and all that stuff. But, I mean, did you notice when James Bond went into Buckingham Palace and stood behind her, he went, mm-hmm. I mean, who does that to the Queen? You know, mm-hmm, madam, come on. And, you know, but the next day they interviewed, Sue Barker interviewed Prince William and Prince Harry. And obviously sort of still in shock that, you know, we'd had this sort of amazing sort of display. And Sue Barker said to the two princes, she said, wow, she said, you must have been so surprised at what the Queen did. And Prince William said this. He said, yeah, he said, but you see her as the Queen. She's our grandma. You know, you see her as this distant figure, but she's just my gran. And she's actually got a tremendous sense of humour. And I thought, that's so true, isn't it? That we see God as this distant royal figure that we can't approach, that we can't get anywhere near. And yet God is saying, hey, come close. Let me throw my arms around you. You're my son, you're my daughter. See, we can be like Prince William and Prince Harry. We can say, yeah, you know, God, he's just my dad. You know, Almighty God just happens to be my... Sorry, but he's my dad, you know, because that's who he is. That's who he is. And a king will entrust his kingdom to his sons and daughters. And I believe that we will have a greater understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is all about when we live as sons and daughters. When we live as slaves, it's just like God is too far away. We've got to be all proper. Like, you know, if we were with the Queen, we would be nervous. I met Prince Edward a couple of years ago. And I'm the chairman of a small charity, and he came to a function we were doing, and I was told the first time you speak to him, you say Your Royal Highness, and then thereafter you just call him Sir. And I was trying to remember this, and I was trying to think of things to say to him, and I mean, he's only about my age. I mean, he's actually younger than me. And he came, and I shook his hand, and I was like shaking like a leaf. And I couldn't remember whether you called him Sir the first time or Your Royal Highness. And I just had this panic, and I said, you know, because he's royalty. Now, the person who runs the charity, the reason why Prince Edward was there was because they'd been at school together. And so she's like, sort of, oh, well, she didn't say, oh, hi, Edward, you know, because you don't, do you? But, you know, it was kind of like, she was okay, but I was panicking because this is a member of the royal family. This is like the closest I've ever been to someone from the royal family, and I couldn't remember what to say. And it was, you know, we're like that with God sometimes, aren't we? It's like God is so distant, and we can't enter into all that he wants to give us. But the truth is, he's our Father. The truth is, we can be just like Prince William and Prince Harry and say, oh, that's just my gran. He's just my dad. You know, God's just my father. And one day Prince William will be king. He will inherit the kingdom. You know, we too have a kingdom that we can inherit from our Father. Not from a master, not from a distant person who we think is always cross and angry with us, but our Father wants to give us his kingdom. And there's an apparent contradiction in John's gospel that I just want to look at for a few minutes, because I think if we understand this, it helps us understand our relationship with Father. See, in John chapter 14, verse 14, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. Thanks, Chris. Ask me anything in my name and I will do it for you. It's like we've got a go-between. You know, it's my big brother Jesus who talk to the Father. Do you know when you had kids' birthday parties and you got all your got your children and you got their friends sitting around the table, and one of the guests, one of the children that's been invited to the party will nudge one of your children. Can you ask your mum if I can have some more ice cream? You know, that happens, doesn't it? Can you ask your mum if we can go outside? Can you ask your dad this? And they don't have the relationship to come to you themselves. So they go through the children. You've seen that at birthday parties, haven't you? And it's like, that's what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 14. He says, you know, if you're a bit worried about going to the Father yourself, just come and ask me and I'll put a good word in for you. It's like, well, that's what it's saying. And it's like Jesus is our mediator. And it's like he's saying, at the moment, you can't go to the Father yourself. So I'll go for you. But it's only a couple of chapters later in John chapter 16, verse 23, that Jesus says this. And this is from the Passion Translation. He says, you won't need to ask me for anything. Hang on. Two chapters ago, you said we could ask you for whatever we want. And now we can't ask you for anything. What's happened? You won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire. And he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that we can go to the Father ourselves? And it's not even because of our relationship with the Father. It's just because of our relationship with Jesus. Jesus is saying, because you know me, you know the Father. And you can go directly to the Father yourself. So whatever we want, we can just go straight to our dad and say, Father, hey, I'm here. Yes, we can talk to Jesus. Of course we can still pray to Jesus. Of course we can still pray to the Holy Spirit. But Jesus is saying we now have access directly to the Father. to reiterate, Jesus says it again in John 16, verse 26. He says, I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, for you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with me. You know, Jesus is saying, hey guys, each one of you can go to the Father yourself. Why is that? Why is that? How is that? We don't need this go-between. We don't need this person to be sort of like a mediator, because it's like we're too scared to go to the Father. Jesus is saying, no, you're a son like I'm a son. You're a daughter like I'm a son. You can go to the Father yourself. You can talk to the Father because he's your dad. At the end of John chapter 17, Jesus sums it up, his whole ministry, in the last couple of verses before he's taken away to the cross. And at the end of John 17, Jesus says, Father, I thank you that I've accomplished what you sent me to do. I thank you that they know that they are loved with exactly the same love and in exactly the same way as I am loved. See, that was Jesus' mission on earth, was to come and show us that the Father loves us in exactly the same way as he loves his son Jesus. It's really easy, isn't it, to believe that God loves Jesus. It's not difficult. You know, Jesus was the perfect son. He did everything his Father wanted. He came from the bosom of the Father, we read in John chapter 1. You know, it's not difficult to know that the Father loves Jesus. But sometimes we struggle with the Father loving us, because we see all the stuff, don't we? Yeah. Yeah. We see the stuff in our life. We see the stuff in our heart. We know the attitudes. You know, we know all that stuff. And Jesus says, the Father loves you in exactly the same way as he loves me. See, that's why Jesus can say here that we can go directly to the Father. Because as far as Jesus is concerned, we have exactly the same relationship with Father God as he does. And for some of us, that's a real struggle to get our head round. Well, you don't have to get your head round it, because it's into your heart that God pours his love. You know, Romans 5:5 says it's into our heart that his love is poured through the Holy Spirit. It's not into our heads, thank goodness. It's not into our emotions, thank goodness. It's into our heart, the very core of our being, that God the Father pours his love through the Holy Spirit. And that love enables us to cry, Abba, Father. Yeah. Yeah. You know, God, you really are my dad. Yeah. And Jesus says, when you know that, you can come to the Father just like I go to the Father. In John chapter 16, verse 27, Jesus says this. I think it's one of the most powerful sentences in the Bible. Jesus says to his disciples, the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. Isn't that incredible? The Father himself loves you. And as Jesus says, he loves us in exactly the same way as he loves Jesus. There are no second-class citizens in heaven. There are no second-class citizens in God's family on earth. We are all the same, and we're all the same as Jesus. Because the Father loves us like he loves Jesus, he is prepared to give us the authority that he gave Jesus. He is prepared for us to be like that younger son in Luke 15. We may feel like we've just come out of the pig pen. We may feel and we may know all the rubbish in our lives, but God the Father says, I want to put my ring on you. I want you to Wear this ring of authority so that you can be like my son Jesus. You know, Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, what does that mean? Well, most people, when they ask something in Jesus' name, they think they have to shout it a bit louder at the end of their prayer. Da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. In Jesus' name, amen. And they feel like they've asked in Jesus' name. And that's not what it means. What it means is taking hold of a little bit of heaven and bringing it to earth. When we ask something in Jesus' name, it's basically us having the same heart and attitude that Jesus had. See, Jesus only desired to please his Father. He only wanted to do what his Father gave him to do. He only wanted to be in the place his Father wanted him to be in. He only, you know, everything he did was because he was so in tune with his Father's heart. And when we ask in Jesus' name, we're asking as if we were Jesus. And all we're basically saying is, Father, what is your will? Which little bit of heaven do you want me to pull out of heaven and plant on earth? And sometimes it's really quite little things. It's smiling at people in the high street. It's baking a cake for the neighbour. It's being a fair boss at work. It's hearing that little voice that says, someone just needs a hug. Someone just needs a touch of love. That's what it means to ask in Jesus' name. It's not ranting and raving and shouting and going rah, 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 rah. It's just saying, Father, which little bit of heaven do you want me to plant on earth today? And I believe as we do that, we will see the kingdom of heaven grow. When we pray, when we talk, when we ask in Jesus' name, what we're doing is we're exercising the authority that the Father has given us. Because our heart will be in tune with his heart. And we can listen to what he's saying. And we can be like Jesus. And we can only do what our Father wants us to do. In Hebrews, chapters 1 and 2 of Hebrews, the writer draws together a number of Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. He talks about him being a son with authority. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that in the old days, in times past, God spoke through prophets. But now he speaks through a son who was the exact representation of the Father. And that son was Jesus. And when we read the first couple of chapters of Hebrews, we see things like this, that Jesus was the heir of all things. He was the creator of the world. He was like the Father as he radiated glory. He was anointed with gladness. He had power over sin and death. He can set the captives free from slavery and death. He can sustain the whole universe with his voice. He loves righteousness and hates wickedness. And having done all, he's now sat down at his Father's right hand. See, that's Jesus. That's a wonderful picture of what our elder brother is like. We look at those things and we go, yes, that's Jesus. How wonderful. And we recognize that in Jesus. But then at the beginning, I think it's the beginning of chapter 3 of Hebrews. No, the beginning of chapter 2, sorry. The writer says, pay close attention. He's talking to us, saying, pay close attention to what you've read. Because there's something there for us as well. Romans 8:29 says Jesus was the firstborn of many brothers. I think it's 2 Corinthians 3:18 says we've been transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. And it's like the writer to the Hebrews is saying, yes, this is what Jesus was like. But he was only the firstborn of many sons. And you, us, all together are being transformed into his likeness. We were predestined to be like him. So if this is what Jesus was like, that gives me a little glimpse of what I can be like as I learn to walk as Jesus walked. This is the authority that Jesus had as a son of God. Of course, he expressed that with a perfect expression, a completeness. You know, I kind of look at that and think, wow. You know, is that for me too? And the answer is, that is for us too. Because we're called to be like our elder brother. We're called to walk as Jesus walked. We're called to be transformed from one degree of glory to another so that we will be like him. That means this for us too. That as we grow as sons and daughters, as we live as Jesus lived, as we walk as Jesus walked, we too will start to receive and live in our true inheritance. We too will radiate the Father's glory. We too will be anointed with gladness. Don't you feel sometimes we need a bit of gladness?
Yes!
You know, I won't go down that rabbit trail, but I think we need gladness. I think we should be the happiest people on the planet. You know, I had an email from someone the other day. She said, I don't understand this, she said. How can I feel peace in my heart? And I won't tell you what she said next because it was a bit colourful, but how can I feel peace in my heart and yet feel absolutely rubbish about my circumstances? And I said to her, well, because God pours his love into your heart, but Satan is attacking your mind and your emotions. And she said, oh. See, you know, when God pours his love into our heart, whatever's going on, we can know we've got that peace. And when we know we've got that peace, it does give us a joy that goes beyond our circumstances.
Yeah.
That's the authority of the sons and daughters of the Father. I believe as we learn to live in love, as we walk as Jesus walked, that we will have power over sin and death. We will have power over sin in our own lives. We will be able to give that as a gift to other people because we're just doing what the Father's telling us to do. And we're just taking a little bit of heaven and planting it on earth. That's what Jesus did. Okay, he was perfect and he did it in the full and complete way. But you know, if we're growing as sons and daughters and if we're growing into this authority which the Father is giving us, then we will see these things grow in our lives as we become like Jesus. All of these things are for us. I've got a friend, she works in Uganda. And she goes there two or three times a year and works in very, very poor villages. And last year she was driving into this village and the whole village had met together and they were just, the whole village was all together, but it was quite clear that there was something wrong. They weren't crying, they were wailing. And when she parked the car and looked, she could see on the ground the body of a little child that had just died. And she's very well known in the village, very well received, and they drew her into the circle and she said, can we pray? Can we pray for that little child? And they did. They prayed that God would give this little child its life back. Now, on that occasion, it didn't happen. But I believe that as we grow as sons and daughters, that's the sort of thing we will see happening. You know, you only have to read Heidi Baker's stories. And I was listening to something yesterday and they stopped counting after 400 people being raised from the dead. Well, I'd settle for one. But, you know, that's the authority of the sons and daughters. That's not the authority of slaves and orphans. That's the authority of sons. And as we walk as Jesus walked, these things that the writer of Hebrews talks about Jesus, they will become part of our life too. And I'm longing for the day. You know, that list used to depress me. But now I feel excited by it. Because over the last year, really the whole journey that I've been on is like, what does it look like to walk as Jesus walked? What does it mean? What does it mean on Monday morning when I'm in my office? What does it mean when I'm doing the shopping with my wife? What does it mean when I'm hanging out with my kids? What does it mean whenever? What does it look like for us to walk as Jesus walked, to live as he lived? And I believe that one of the things is that we will grow in authority. Because Jesus lived his life in authority. You know, there are times, sometimes we have to shake off our timidity. I've got another friend who's been living in Uganda for 25 years. And one night she was in her compound and she heard a car come up. And they knocked on, they shook the door and she said, "Who's there?" And they said, "It's the police." And she thought, "Yeah, right. The police never come round here." So she said, "Well, just a minute, I'm going to phone the police station." And they said, "No, you must let us in now." And she went and phoned the police station and said, "Have you got a patrol up in my area?" And they said, "No, we haven't." And then she knew that she knew all along, really, that these were robbers. And she just went back and she said, "You're not coming in." And they broke through the gate and they broke into the compound and she locked herself in her house. And they were just about to break into the house and they probably would have killed her. You know, that's the reality. And she just shouted at them, "In the name of Jesus, go, 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 go." And they went. Now, I think on that occasion, it's okay to shout. But she shouted at them and she just said, "You go." And what she was doing was she was living in the authority that God had given her. You know, there was another occasion she was attacked and she was shot. And the bullet went through her. She put up her arm just at the last minute and the bullet went through her arm. She's got a hole there and a hole there. But again, she knew her life was in danger. But she knew who her father is. And she just told these people as she was lying on the floor bleeding, she just told them to get out of her house. And normally, you know, if you've got a white lady who's on the floor bleeding, you're just going to kill them and take whatever you can get. But she spoke with such authority that they just had to go. And I believe, you know, we will see that sort of thing happen in England. Yeah, we love the stories from Africa. But I believe we will see that sort of thing happen in our lives. And sometimes we need to stand in the authority that God's given us. And shake off the fear and the timidity. Because we are his sons and daughters. Yeah. You know, he is our father. We can go directly to him and we can say, "Father, I need you. Father, what bit of heaven do you want me to plant on earth today?" Because that's all Jesus did. You know, when we break it down to its simplicity, that's what Jesus did. He said, "Father, which bit of heaven do you want me to put on earth?" That's what the Lord's Prayer is about. You know, "Our Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Father, as your son or as your daughter, I want the will of heaven to be done on earth. I want the will of heaven to be done in my family. I want the will of heaven to be done in my job. I want the will of heaven to be done as I walk around the supermarket. I want the will of heaven to be done as I just meet people in the street. It doesn't have to be anything big or glamorous. It can just be little things because we're living as sons and daughters of the Father. You know, we know the story of the Roman centurion, don't we? Who came to Jesus and said, "Just my servant is ill." And Jesus said, I'll come with you and heal him. And the centurion said, "No, you don't have to come. You can just say a word. You know, I recognize that you have authority." And he knew that because he was a man who had authority, but he'd also been given authority. As a centurion, he had been given authority by the emperor. He hadn't taken that for himself. He'd been given it. And he said, "I can see that you've got something, Jesus. You don't have to come. You can just say a word." And I believe that's what Father wants us to be like. That people will recognize that we're carrying something, which basically is Father's presence. And people will say, "Yes, I want what you're walking in. I want what you've got." See, Jesus had such authority that he could go 40 days in the wilderness without food, and he could tell the devil where to go. You know, he wasn't tired, he wasn't drained. He could just stand up and say, "Satan, get behind me. You don't have anything on me. Go away." And I believe that's the authority that the Father gives us. Because it's an authority that he puts inside of us because we're his sons and daughters. Yeah. Prince William has authority because he was born in the right family. Prince Harry has authority because he was born in the right family. We have authority because we've been born into the right family. Yeah. You know, God is our Father. He is not distant. He's not a long way off. He is there waiting to pick us up when we mess up, waiting to put the ring on our finger and say, "Son, you're not a servant, you're my son. Now get down in the marketplace and get on with it." You know, it's like we can be the Father to this world. We can represent him. We can bring freedom to the captives. Jesus stood up at the beginning of his ministry and took the scroll and read from Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set the captives free." And as we grow as sons and daughters, as we live in love, as we walk as Jesus walked, we will be able to bring freedom to the captives. We'll be able to do it because we're free ourselves, because we've experienced freedom, that we're living in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And then we'll be able to hand freedom out as a gift. Because all we're doing really is planting heaven on earth. And I believe that's one of the greatest privileges we have as sons and daughters, is to plant heaven on earth. When John talks about walking as Jesus walked, he doesn't mean go through the Gospels and write a list of all the things Jesus did, and then work your way down that list and tick them off. You know, well, I would be struggling because I haven't turned water into wine yet. You know, walking as Jesus walked is not having a checklist of the things he did. It's having the same heart attitude as he had. It's seeing the Father's will done on earth as it is done in heaven. See, orphans are self-centered and self-seeking, and therefore they seek to control. But sons and daughters are free and are able to release other people. Let's just go back to the story of Joseph. You remember the story that there was a famine in the land where Joseph's brothers were living. And eventually they heard about the food in Egypt. And they come down to Egypt. And of course they don't recognize Joseph, but he recognizes them. And here he is, this man with all the authority of Pharaoh. He has the power to punish his brothers. He has the power to bring judgment on them. He has the power to manipulate and control them. But instead of exercising that power to punish, he chooses to bless. Because he has forgiven them in his heart for what they did to them, what they did to him. His heart is only to please them, to bless them, to provide for them, to care for them. Something had happened in Joseph's heart that made him want to bring restoration and wholeness. And he uses his authority to bless rather than punish. And one of the things I believe we've struggled with in the church is authority has been misused. And instead of being something that releases us and blesses us, it's been something that's controlled us and manipulated us. And so we have this wrong picture of authority. We have this picture of authority, like I said at the beginning, has become a dirty word. You know, and we want to run a mile away from it. And that's true when it's wrong. But what we don't want to run a mile from is the authority that the Father wants to give us. Because the Father wants to give us authority as his sons and daughters so that we can go and be a blessing to other people. Yeah. That we can go and see the captive set free. See, orphans will control and manipulate and are self-seeking, but sons and daughters, because we've got so much, we can freely give it. You see, we know that if we look, Jeremiah 3:19 says we have the best inheritance of any nation. The best inheritance of any nation. A good, desirable land to live in. And then Jeremiah says, on behalf of God the Father, he says, I thought you would call me Father. I thought you would call me Father. Because that's the relationship he wants to have with us, is that we would come to him and say, God, you really are my Father. And that we would know that we are being loved in the same way as Jesus is being loved. With exactly the same intensity of love and passion as Jesus. And I believe that, you know, as we walk as Jesus walked, that we are going to have the authority that Jesus had, that will enable us to be a blessing to other people, that will enable us to give good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favour. We can only live in the authority of sons and daughters if we've had a homecoming. Like that son in Luke 15. We have to come home to the Father. We have to know that he is our Father. We have to know that he is loving us right now. And whatever we do, wherever we go, however we behave, he still loves us. And once we've had that homecoming, this is the A, B, and C school. Do the A school, do the B school, and then C school lasts forever. It's the rest of life is living as a son, it's living as a daughter. And it's growing in this authority that Father God wants to give us so that we can see his will being done on earth. Father, thank you that you are our Father. Thank you that you're our Father. Father, thank you that we can come to you. Father, thank you that we have direct access to you. Father, we can come to you as sons and daughters coming to a dad. And we can do this because you love us. The Father himself loves you. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we want to grow as sons and daughters so that we grow in authority not in a bad way, but in a way that will bless, in a way that will bring freedom. Father, we know that authority has been misused and has become a negative word. But Father, we want to restore it to its true meaning. Today, Father, we want to receive that as a gift. That you want us to live like your Son lived. Yeah. Thank you, Father.